When you go all for Jesus and keep on going all for Jesus, Jesus will stay on your case. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over the station. Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. About a year and a half ago, I started a series of messages on this gospel. Now we're about at the end of this series, so I don't know yet what I'll be preaching on after this, but by God's grace, I will continue to preach. In the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, we have events that occurred after Christ's resurrection. Our text begins, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself." Then it goes on to mention that seven of the disciples of Jesus were found at the Sea of Tiberias, and Simon Peter says unto them, "I go a-fishing." They said unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus says unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I want to stop the story right here and go on to the second segment of this chapter, where after this fishing trip was over, and after Jesus had eaten with his disciples, he calls on Peter, and he asks Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now, that's enough scripture reading for right now. What I want to bring to your attention is that here, as we exit the Gospel of John, we once again have the camera turned on Peter. First of all, on Peter in his natural trade, and secondly, on Peter in his divine calling. Peter was a fisherman, and when we first meet him in the Synoptic Gospels, we meet him as a fisherman. But through the Gospels, we see him continually as a committed, fervent disciple of the Lord, who's called to be an apostle, even the chief apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God putting the lights back on Peter in his last chapter of the Gospel of John, God makes it unmistakably clear who of the many disciples, who of the 12 apostles, was to be followed in the early days of the church. In all of biblical history, God has always, and I say always, made it plain who was to be followed. So it's only natural that as we move from the last chapter of the Gospel of John, the spotlight is on Peter, and then as we transfer over to the next book, to the book of Acts, into the history of the church, again, we continue to see Peter in the spotlight as the number one player on the stage. I'm saying all this to say this, that many of you don't believe in following men, but my friend, God wants, and God wanted the church to follow Peter, and God still sends men into the world to be followed. So then Peter was chosen. He was a chosen vessel, and he was called to a wonderful ministry. Jesus said at one time, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Peter was called, and he was chosen. My friend, I believe that God is calling every one of you listening to this radio broadcast, but he does not choose every one of you listening today. Whether you will be chosen depends on whether you will choose Jesus above everything else in the world. So you are all called, but whether he chooses you or not depends on whether you choose him. And once you choose Jesus with all your heart above everything else in the world, and when you keep choosing Jesus, Jesus will stay on your case. He will keep you on a short leash, and you will never get away from him. He will not let you go astray. Every time you're trying to pull off a little to the right or left, he will pull you right back in. And this is a great story here of the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, because you see here, Jesus, after the resurrection, did not go around the country with his disciples anymore. He was now absent. Most all the time he was absent. Once in a while he showed up for a few minutes, then he was gone again. And so there were no more miracles of healing. There was no more casting out of devils. There was no more preaching to the multitudes. And the disciples were pretty much left to themselves. Getting back to the Sea of Tiberias, Peter now says to his fellow disciples, I go a fishing. And so they all got into the fishing boat together and off they went. Now I see nothing wrong with Peter wanting to go fishing. After all, the master was not there anymore to lead them on the apostolic mission, so they might as well go fishing. Perhaps the refrigerator was starting to empty out, and there was probably a physical need to get some food, the bills had to be paid, etc. And furthermore, it was very easy for Peter to go fishing, for he had not been fishing for 3 years. So we understand from the natural, there's nothing wrong here in Peter going back fishing, but there was something within Peter in wanting to go back fishing and pulling all the other 6 disciples with him back into this fishing experience. There was some attitude that began to develop, some spirit that started coming back into Peter that Jesus had to arrest. There was a great danger that the love for the fish, the fishing business, the love of the sea, the love for the boat, the love for the nets would get back into Peter's heart, and that Pentecost then would be prevented. So isn't it true that many times when we have a little bit slack, that there's a tendency, a natural tendency for us to go back doing what we left before we received the Lord Jesus? The tendency that we fall back into what Jesus had gotten us out of. So to make the story short here, Peter was on a leash, but he was beginning to pull on it in the wrong direction. And I can prove this to you because after this fishing trip was all said and done, and after Jesus had breakfast with his disciples, then he calls Peter on the carpet. And then he asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me more than these? Jesus wanted to be sure that he would continue to be the uncontested object of love in the heart of his apostle Peter. As I said to you earlier, that my friend, if you choose Jesus and keep choosing him, he will put you on a short leash, and whenever you start pulling on it, he will start pulling you back in. And this is exactly what happened here. And while you're on the short leash with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, he will continue to correct you. Whenever you get off the slightest bit, he will continue to give you red lights whenever you're about to go in the wrong direction or when you're about to say the wrong thing. And he will continue to chastise and rebuke you whenever you need it. That is a life in the presence of Jesus. But of course, also he will bless you abundantly, and he will give you experiences that the world cannot offer. And he will give you great responsibilities and a great endowment of power from the precious Holy Spirit. So keep choosing Jesus all the time so that you'll stay on the short leash. So Jesus will stay on your case, and he will continue to watch over you. So Jesus allowed the disciples to do their fishing, but somehow heaven arranged for a sign that only fish could read. Heaven allowed for a sign to be placed on the fishing nets under the water. And this sign said, all fish keep out tonight. And so as the night progressed, it says they fished all night and caught nothing. Of all the fish in the sea, none of them could get into Peter's nets because there was a sign on that net that only fish could read. It says, stay out. Then in the morning, the Lord stood by the seashore because, you know, he was trying to get his troops back together. They thought it was all over with. You know, many times there is a kind of lull, a kind of a break in ministry or in the work of God. Many times people think it's over with when in reality we're just in a transition and the best is yet ahead. So Jesus met the fishermen at the seashore in the morning when they came back defeated and discouraged. He did not identify himself immediately, but he simply said, children, do you have anything to eat? And they said, no. And he said, go out again and cast your net onto the right side. And this time there was another sign that was put on the fishing nets under the water level. another sign from heaven, my friend, and this sign said, only good fish, only big fish are allowed into this net. Hallelujah. Have you ever considered how all the little and medium-sized fishes and other water creatures were keeping out of that net? What kept them out of that net that second time Peter went out to fish? Who was there regulating the fish traffic as to who could get in and as to who had to stay out? And who was there regulating that at 153 fish, that's as many fish as they caught, there was a stop sign. It said no more fish allowed in, so that the boat would not sink and the nets would not break. So when this occurred, my friend, as these fishermen came back to the shoreline, Jesus was still standing there. And John, looking at Jesus, said, it's the Lord. And Peter put on his fishing coat, jumped into the waters, and splashed to Jesus on the shoreline. And I believe he gave Jesus a big hug, and then they all had breakfast. An interesting thing here is that Jesus said, come and dine. And Jesus had created his own breakfast. He created a love feast. It says, as soon as they were come to land, these disciples, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now let me ask you, where did Jesus get his fish from? The disciples did not eat their own fish that they caught. They ate Jesus' fish that he had already on the fire. Did Jesus have a fishing pole? Again, where did he get his fish from? And where did he get this bread from? Oh, my friend, the Lord made them a heavenly feast. And then after this love feast, he came to Peter and he said to Peter, to be sure that Peter's heart was dead centered on him, he said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, the Greek allows for three possible translations here for the words, lovest thou me. The first one can be saying, lovest thou me more than these other disciples love me. The second one could be, lovest thou me more than you love these other disciples. And another translation, the third one, gives a possibility of saying, lovest thou me more than all these things? Lovest thou me more than the other disciples? More than the boat? More than the nets? More than the Sea of Galilee? More than the sea breeze blowing through your hair? Do you love me more than anything in the world? And I think that's probably the most accurate translation that I can give you. Jesus asked Peter this question once. He asked this question a second time and a third time, till actually it broke Peter's heart. He examined him on three levels. Every successive examination was on a deeper level to find out if Peter really, really loved Jesus more than anything else in the world. If he would not love Jesus more than anything in anybody in the world, he could not commission him to feed his sheep and to feed his lambs. My dear friend, all of us have to minister to other people, whether we are physicians or truck drivers or mothers or school teachers or engineers. Do we love Jesus more than anybody and anything in the world? If we do, then Jesus can commission us to work for him in his wonderful vineyard. And this, of course, is a question that I'd like to ask all the dear pastors. I want to ask you, dear pastor friend, do you love your church more than Jesus? Do you love your programs more than Jesus? Do you love the benefits of the church more than Jesus? Do you love your traveling more than Jesus? Do you love the blessings or men more than Jesus? If Jesus is not number one above everything else and everybody else in the world, in your life, the Holy Spirit cannot and will not work through you to feed God's sheep. Oh, how we need to love the Lord Jesus. And doesn't this kind of tie together with the first and greatest commandment that we get as early as the book of Deuteronomy? Love the Lord with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.